I'm sorry. Because there are some group of people who couldn't call because God did not give them the faith to believe. Let's see what the scripture says. You know the condition. First of all, they had to call them and they had to believe. And in order to have faith in him, they had to hear him. And in order to hear him, they had to have a preacher. And in order to be able to preach, they had to be sent. In order to say, he says, in order to believe on him, in verse 14, it was necessary for them to hear. Necessary for them to hear. Not just hear about him, but to hear him. To hear him. Not just to hear about him, but to hear him. Have they heard him? And have all preachers been sent?
By the Lord.
You know, listen, verse 15.
What is serious?
But they have no other
need.
The gospel.
For our answers were
believed our report, or who has believed that which was hearing.
You see,
that comes, as he said in verse
7,
hearing. Hearing comes by hearing God. Hearing the word of God. Can I
believe? Faith comes if you hear God speak. Faith comes if it's all about him. Could they have believed?
What was the problem that they couldn't hear? Was the problem that they were
so dead
in sin and
unregenerate
that a dead man can't hear the
truth?
Is that the problem?
Paul proceeded to analyze
yes.
with four questions.
You can mark
these four questions in your Bible.
I'm going to take it to the whole argument
of your
second. The first
question is
found in verse 18. The second question is found in
verse 19. The
third question is
found
in chapter 11, verse 1.
And
the fourth question is
found
in chapter 11,
verse 11.
Four questions. and the way that he swings these
gross
things. The nerves. No, Aaron, sir. Every time. Right in the nerves. Well, yes,
sir.
Sir? And of course, you're trying to make it one word.
For those
who are in the presence. That's right, Howard. Isn't it?
What?
Question for one of two things.
That could mirror. Those can use.
Ring of five. Goodbye, yes, it is.
Or
goodbye, it's ring of five, isn't it? And it's well, or no, is it? I'll send you three that there are certain questions in the word that we find in the literature that are open questions.
The meaning
of open questions are. But these questions here, the word that the Apostle Paul found them, learned a certain answer. For instance, in verse 18, in the first question.
But what was
so, have they no
order? Right?
And literally, the way that you could frame the question is this. It's not about it, yeah?
Listen.
You see?
It's
not about it, yeah?
It's right in the law.
It's not about it, yeah?
Great builder.
And if I this question demands
the
same kind of answering, you see, Paul is going to now examine
three things.
I'm going to examine why Israel
was not found. In verse 18, he says,
not that they didn't hear him.
That's
not the problem, was it? Why did they do hear? Their sound went in water.
Right? And the grace
of the Lord.
Those unregenerate men who had rejected the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and had rejected the testimony of the Apostle Paul, they did hear. And Paul quotes from the Scripture to prove that that was true. And they heard in a way that man had never heard before. Not only did they hear the preaching of the prophets down through the ages, but they heard the Son of God Himself. They heard Him as He walked the earth. They heard Him. And in the days of the Apostle Paul and the early church, as it spread throughout the land from Pentecost onward, God bearing them signs, bearing them witness with signs and wonders, and miraculous authentication, they heard. If faith comes by hearing, in verse 17, and by hearing God sends someone, as it says in verse 14 and 15, that tells us two things. If God sends someone, and if the man is God sent, then God wants them to hear, doesn't He? He wants them to hear. God doesn't send somebody and say, well, I know they really can't hear anyway, but I'm going to send them anyway so that they can't hear the message that I want them to hear. God sends a man to preach the Word of God because He wants them to hear. And if they hear, why, look at verse 17. How does believing come? Believing comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And if they heard, it's not because they didn't hear, is it? No, they did hear. And if they heard, they could have believed, couldn't they? This is Scripture. Paul is analyzing why the Israelites were not saved. Was it because they didn't hear? No, they heard. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Believing comes by hearing. They heard. They could have believed. And you will never be able to lay it at God's doorstep why people are in hell and will perish for all eternity. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you'll never be able to say, I didn't hear. You do hear. God sees to it. You can't lay it at God's doorstep. They did hear. They could have believed. Oh, but the problem was that when they heard, they didn't really know. They didn't understand. That's what the problem was. They heard, but they didn't understand what they heard. That was the problem. Paul says in verse 19, a second question. But I say, did not Israel know? And we can frame this question the same way. It's not because they didn't know, is it? No, it's not. They did know. And he shows three scriptures to prove from the Bible, from the Word of God, that they did know. First of all, he quotes from Moses. Moses says, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Just think about the first century of the church as the gospel went throughout the ends of the world. You know, before that time, there were multitudes of Jews who worshiped the living God, and they were a witness to God. Even in the days when they were corrupt in many ways, they had a powerful witness to God. Their temple was called the Imageless Temple. They were a real wonder of the religious world of that day, a unique nation in their witness and testimony to God. But even though they were such a powerful witness, there were few Gentiles who came that way. There were some, but there were few. Oh, but now, from the time of Pentecost onward, why, as the gospel was preached, and as the Jews rejected the testimony of those that preached it, as they closed their ears and tried not to hear, and persecuted those that were preaching, another thing was happening. Right under their noses, Gentiles, scores of Gentiles, thousands of pagan, idolatrous, immoral Gentiles were coming to trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right under their very noses, it was happening in the day of the Apostle Paul. By a foolish nation. But Isaiah was very bold. He quotes secondly from Isaiah, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now that's a bold statement for Isaiah to make about Almighty God. Isaiah says, in a quotation from their own prophet, Paul quotes here to show that did they know? Why, your own prophets tell you. What a bold statement to make, that God would go seeking them. That God would initiate this transaction. And again from the prophet, he says in his third quotation in verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. All day long I have stretched forth my hands. Did they know? God says, it's not because they didn't know, is it? Why, all day long I stretched forth my hands. You who are parents, you who have children, when you stretch forth that hand, those hands like that, to your children and you say, come, are you sincere? Do you mean it? Is it genuine? God says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands. And if He did, it was because that those that He says here were a disobedient and a gainsaying people could come. God meant it when He said it. How far would God go? Is there no end to His mercy? We see the Son of God stretch forth His hands on the cross of Calvary and that nation nail Him to a tree. The Messiah that came to save them, Jesus. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Why, you'd say, they knew. What will God do with them now? Why, after that type of knowledge and the treatment that they did to God's Son, God will get rid of them, won't He? God will cast them off, won't He? And that raises the third question, chapter 11 and verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, Paul says, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Proof of the mercy of God, and proof that God was not finished with that nation even then. Hath God cast away His people? God forbid. What proof do you have, Paul? I'm one of them. And besides me, there's Peter. And there's James. And Lazarus. And a host of others who believed on the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Proof of the mercy of God. Proof that God was not finished with the nation, even now. And then we read in verse 11, then, well, if this blindness has taken place, chapter 11, verse 11, and if this has occurred to the nation of Israel, why, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. For to provoke them to jealousy. The strategies of divine wisdom. God using the very rejection of His Son to bring salvation to the entire world. It's wonderful. We move to verse 34 of chapter 11. Who would have thought that after God sent His Messiah, His Son, the Messiah of Israel, and they rejected Him, that God would use that very thing to bring salvation to the entire world and to one day provoke Israel to belief in the very Messiah that they crucified. In verse 34, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who advised Him of that kind of a plan? Did somebody one day say, you know, God, I've got a good plan, not have cooked up to get the universe out of the mess it's in. Here's what I think you should do, God. You should send your Son, and He will come into the world incarnate in flesh, and He'll go to the cross and be crucified and be raised from the dead, and the Jews will reject Him, and salvation will go to all the world, the Gentiles and everyone, and then one day Israel too will believe through that. Did someone tell God that? Who's been His counselor? Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul says in verse 33 as he concludes these three chapters, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. What's the summation of this? Well, God has a plan. And His plan is that, in, as it says in verse 31, that even so have these also now not believed, those Jews, that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. You see, the first step that God had to do with the nation that tried to, by their own righteousness, establish a righteousness of their own, He had to get them to the place where they saw that they were unbelievers. That they were not really believers at all. So that He could have mercy on them. So that He could have mercy on them. That's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? To get somebody who thinks they believe, or is religious or knows some things to realize that they're really not a believer at all. That they really have not believed on the Lord unto salvation. But then that's the only way that God can have mercy, isn't it? Oh, the depth of the riches of God. Salvation. Yes, they have heard. Yes, they do know. Yes, the word has been sent. And it's so close that it's even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Brethren, we cannot complicate this matter of salvation in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're saved, it's because you heard God speak. God spoke to your heart and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's just that simple. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And if you'll just wrap your heart around it, by faith embrace the word and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you as well. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we realize that it's a difficult thing for us to do as we contemplate your plan and your wisdom and your ways. Lord, our feeble minds at times cannot attain to these thoughts. But now and again, like the words of Scripture here, we catch a glimpse of your wisdom and your mercy and your grace, your love and your long-suffering, and your plan to save men. God, it seems that you'll go to no ends, or that you'll spare no ends to save men and women who are lost. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that the simplicity is not in the great truths that are there, which are very